The following message was recorded at the No Regrets Men's Conference. More information about the conference is available at noregretsconference.org. Feel free to make copies of this message for others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission.
Absolutely awesome. It's great to see you all. I want to introduce my wife, and the reason she's here is because we know all of us have issues with our wives and girlfriends and all, and we want to know who can we ask all our questions, and that's why Edda is here. So a big hand to my wife here. Awesome. Awesome. Let me just pray for us as we get into our talk this morning. Lord, we thank you for every single man who's here. Thank you for just the story you're unfolding in their lives. Many come here because of relationships that some might have started recently, and some might be in an interesting, maybe dramatic season in their marriage relationship. And some might be even be looking back at a broken relationship and wondering what happened back there. And I pray that today as we dig into your word, as we talk about life and what communication, especially for the purposes of intimacy, is. Holy Spirit, would you come and speak to our hearts? We'll really look to you. We have no other business apart from the business you have in store for us. So would you just take over this place and allow that our conversation today would be pleasing before you. We thank you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe before we start, I can ask my wife to introduce, to say a little bit about our family, and I'll kick us going.
This is like, you know, I'm seriously outnumbered, but it's such an honor to be here. As I was driving in and looking for a parking, which is insane if you came a little late, I was so moved just to see how many men are here gathered to seek God's face together. So I'm really honored to be here. Albo and I have been married 10 years. We have 3 boys. And whenever I say that, people look at me like, hang in there, sister. 3 boys who are a storm, and we love them. They are 8, 6, and 1 year old.
Awesome. I want to just start by saying, you know, there's a lot of man bashing going around. And I want to start by just celebrating who we are as men. Isn't it awesome to be a man? Yeah. Yeah, it is awesome to be a man. God has created us so uniquely. One of the things I celebrate about how God has created us is when he created Adam, he put in Adam an internal selective mute button. And he's able to go through his life and just, you know, choose which things to switch on and off. I can be in my living room and there's a lot of chaos going on. The kids are flying all over the place. There is, you know, Edda is trying to cook up something. There's alarms going off all over the place. But I am at peace because I can't hear it. Such a gift for us as men. No, the other gift, my son keeps asking, Dad, what kind of, if you had a superpower to, you know, what kind of superpower would you ask for? I'm like, I already have a superpower. And this superpower is the ability to think about nothing. Isn't that awesome? That I can be in a coma right in the middle of the day. I mean, my eyes are open, heart is beating, but I can choose to not respond to the stimulus around me. Isn't it awesome to be a man? It's absolutely awesome. I don't know what you have to say about that.
I must admit that these superpowers have been misrepresented. And it's mainly because we don't understand them. And as a woman, I'm thinking, I know I left Tommy right at the door of the bathroom. I know that the oven will be beeping in 7 minutes. The baby needs a bottle. The doorbell has rung. And you're going to check out now? Really? You know, grab a baby and do something. So we don't fully understand that whole thing. And it's misrepresented to us because it irritates us, to be honest. And then this whole idea of thinking nothing, like, we don't have a framework in our minds to process that. Like, how can you think nothing and be alive, you know? Like, how? Because we're usually thinking 16 things at least, you know, on any given moment. So we don't understand it.
As we come here today, men, we have a chance to move from our world. And typically a man's world is just you by yourself. And everything is going great and you could get lost in this world. Today, I'm going to ask us to begin to make a couple of steps towards this woman's world where they exist in community. That's how they value who they are. And this is what they consider to be of essence. And we'll be talking about 3 essential movements that every man needs to get into. If you were only in your world and it was all about you, you'd be fine. But today we're saying we are here because we exist for community and especially for our relationships, for intimacy. And for that to happen, many men need to make a couple of steps towards understanding what this world is. And we hope that at the women's conference, they'll be taught about what it takes to come to our amazing world where we're just by ourselves. What do you keep us going?
Two things to note as we dive into this. At first, the essence of community is intimacy, distinguishing marriage from all other relationships. When you're communicating in a lecture theater or at the parking lot, you know, you meet someone or whatever, that's not about intimacy. But in this setting, it is. And information is good. And, you know, the age when kids are going for soccer practice and there's a birthday party here and there's all these details. Information is critical. Humor is helpful. I like a good laugh. Inspiration is great. Eloquence is impressive. But what we're really looking at, the score here, is intimacy. And Genesis 2:18 says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'" And the essence of marriage, that we would engage suitably with each other and that there's intimacy. The word alone here talks about alienation, solitude, the single lamp. It's not good. It's not good for man to be alone. And so we're looking at what the alternative is together. And the second thing to note is that communication is not just about conflict resolution. When we think of conflict resolution, you can think of a boat that's on the water and then there's a hole and another hole and another hole and you're just trying to chuck the water. And that's really communication around conflict resolution. But we want to talk about the kind of boat that doesn't get holes and won't sink. And we're not fighting to just keep afloat. It's more than that.
So today we'll be talking about that, and I'll turn us to a passage that I normally preach from this passage when I officiate weddings, mostly because hardly anyone preaches from the book of Esther. It's a great book. It's the book that it is said that there's no mention of the word God, but there are some godly characters in there. But there are also some characters in the book of Esther who are not rooted. Today we're talking about what it is to be rooted. And the gentleman we'll be talking about today is a king. His name is King Xerxes. And he is, if you could just imagine with me, many years at the beginning of his tenure, he has come into his role as king, and he's enjoying the season of his kingship. His first couple of years, things are going great. He has everything that every man would ever want. Talk about the power. He's got it. Talk about the recognition, the fame. Talk about affirmation. Talk about a beautiful wife. He's got it all. All the things we crave for. But the only thing he doesn't have a rooting in God. And there's some things about communication that we even blend into his family that he is not aware of. And you can imagine with me, you know, because he has all these things, he, you know, comes to a place where he wants to get married. He meets his high school sweetheart, and they tie the knot, and everything is going great. Beautiful wife, great job. Prospects for the future are absolutely awesome. We come to his wedding day.
So imagine with us his wedding night, and he's staring into the eyes of this precious bride, and he has to pinch himself. Like, is this real? This is awesome. She's everything I ever wanted. She's my best friend. What did I do to deserve this beautiful, spirited woman? Things couldn't be better. And then, of course, he looks into her eyes and says, "Honey, would you dance for me?" And she does this swan dance, you know, and she was taught by her mother, and it's come down the generations, and it's glorious beauty, and it's appropriate.
Fast forward a little later, and this is the event which brings out the communication. We're in book of Esther, chapter 1, verse 10. And, you know, after you've become a king for so long, after you've won so much, you're like, what do you do? So he decides he's going to show off his wealth to everyone around, all the people from the nearby nations, and they come for 180 days just to display his wealth. And added to that, he decides to to host the biggest party ever for 7 whole days. Verse 10 says, and on the 7th day, when King Xerxes was high in spirits from wine, he commanded the 7 eunuchs who served him, Mehuman, Biztha, Habona, Bigtha, Abagtha, Zetha, and Carcass, to be this guy, king's friend. You have to have a strange name, obviously, to bring before him Queen Vashti, wearing her royal crown in order to display her beauty to the people and the nobles, for she was lovely to look at. But when the attendants delivered the king's command, Queen Vashti refused to come. Then the king became furious and burned with anger. And this is what he did. He decided to consult with his friends, his cronies. Verse 13 says, since it was customary for the king to consult experts in the matters of law and justice, he spoke with the wise men who understood the times. Look what he's done. He's done what many of us are very, very tempted to do. We bring the rules that apply at our workplace. We're tempted to bring them home and hope that they hold. And he did that right there. And you can imagine what happened there, the council of his advisors.
So finally, she's banished from the palace. That's what these wise men come up with. Let's banish her, you know, otherwise the other women will be disrespectful. And so she probably knew that this was going to be a consequence, but she chooses dignity and she holds her head high and she says, I am not going to a bunch of drunk men to strut before them for you to show me off. And remember, the king is not rooted. So this is, you know, he's not operating from a place of godliness.
One of the things to think about as we go into communication and it comes to marriage and intimacy as a man is to keep this thought in your mind that typically what makes you successful in one place, at your workplace, that you know, in that place when you are with your friends, could be a failure in another context. Your success could be your greatest failure. And we'll be talking about 3 different movements bring this to light. First, our first lesson is moving from win to share. Moving from win to share. I love this world here, this world of men, because in this world of men, it is about me and how I can exert myself and how I can win at my place of work, wherever I am. And I see it in every time men gather around. I always like watching how the conversation goes. It's always who has the better jokes, who knows more, who watched the most recent episode of a series, who knows better than the other. And we spend most of our day in that kind of environment where it is about how you can win, have the last word in a conversation. And then as I drive home, I have to make this shift in my mind from moving from a win mentality to this crazy world where it is about sharing. And that for many of us is like going through a surgical operation because it just takes everything. Sometimes I find myself needing to drive a longer route to get home because I realize something needs to happen as I go into the work or home environment. Because if I go home with a win mentality, I go up the stairs and I drive go into the house and immediately I start thinking, what's the problem here? And I start trying to solve it. I'm barking at the kids. I'm barking at their mom. I'm trying to put everything in order. And she has been waiting for me to have a shared moment. And then I came in with my win heart and mentality. And immediately, my first few moments as I come in home are like, push. She feels the distance. What does it mean for you to move from a win mentality to a share mentality? Because as I come home, my temptation is to solve something. King Xerxes found himself in that place where he had spent 180 days winning and 7 more displaying his wealth and all of those things. And he tries to bring his wife into this space. And she finds herself frustrated. She just says, I can't have any of that. We as men do that so easily, and we do not realize what that looks like. Because power does not lead to intimacy. Power helps us to succeed. And man, I hope you know that God is expecting of you to be powerful and to be decisive and to be firm. But God is also asking of you, as you go into this environment, that you begin to think that in this environment, the home environment, that you wear the heart of sharing and what sharing looks like.
And for us as women, I mean, we love that you are strong. We love that you are winning. And we want to celebrate you in that place. But sometimes that strength comes, pushes us away. And it doesn't call out in us a desire for intimacy. And as we said before, it's about intimacy. A woman's desire is to know and to be known. For someone who will share in how I'm going through life, you know, doing life together. That you care about, you know, the lady I bumped into at the parking lot and we started to talk about how cute the baby is. You know, details. That's what we love. We want to know and to be known. And the random thoughts that popped in my head as I went through traffic, the fears that were triggered when I watched the news, when I saw something in our son that I thought, you know, oh my word, what if he grows up and becomes this? All those things are important for me to share. My desire is to share my life with you. My desire is for you to discover me and not with the starry-eyed romance that we had when we were dating, but that now you would look through all the mess of being an adult with PMS and children and failed hopes and dreams and still know me and still love me. That's our desire as women.
Edda, let me ask you maybe on a practical level, how would this apply? If you were to talk to me as a man who is used to the winning side of things, this is a language I know, and you're asking me to walk into this crazy world of yours, what would that look like?
Well, I think the first thing is listen to me. Listen to my heart. Listen to what's going on. And I know that I have a lot to say, but listen to me anyway. And that's a communication of love for me. And the second thing for me is if there's something in your day that shook you and you're taking a longer route to process it, etc., share that with me. I want to go through it with you. And I won't look at you any less for being raw or having been beat up by the world. You know, this is what life together looks like for me. And another thing for me is that if we are in conflict and there's a moment you realize you are wrong, and this is a quote I had from a wise man. I didn't come up with this myself. That you would be able to say, honey, I'm wrong. I was only looking up for my own interests, and just leave it there. That you're not trying to win in that moment, but in that moment you realize that connecting with me and leaving it in a positive place is more important than you winning. And finally, there are times I know you're not ready to engage. I distinctly remember a time I was pregnant with our last child, and I really wanted to connect with my husband. And I was like, babe, I really want to connect with you. And he said, you know, I want to play Settlers of Catan.
How many Settlers of Catan fans do we have in the house? You know, all people are really rooted play Settlers of Catan.
It's a game which, I won't even go there. It's like a religion. But anyway, at that moment, I knew insisting on bonding with him wouldn't work. And so it's okay for you to say, you know what, I'm not in that space right now. Can we do this in 2 hours? Or tomorrow I'll take you for coffee. That's okay. I can handle that. You know, reschedule. Keep it real. Because if you don't want to be there, I can tell. And I don't feel hard. So it's okay to say that, you know.
Maybe we should give that a try. And the statement she said earlier, it's a statement I struggle with. To be able to say, honey, I'm sorry. I was only looking out for my own interests. Shall we give that a try? Let's give it a 1, 2. Let's go together. Honey, I'm sorry. I was only looking out for my own interests.
That sounds awesome. Awesome.
If any of you would even right now just type that text and send to your wife, it doesn't matter what season you're going through. You'll go home to a house that is hot and burning. They're ready for you. Because our wives don't hear those things from us at all. And they because in this world, I want to always have the last word. In this world, it's I win by letting her have the last word and having a shared moment. Because men typically want to solve a problem. Women typically want to, men communicate to solve a problem. Women communicate to share a problem. And I'm going to ask you another question. There could be some men in the house here who they're saying, you don't know my wife. She'll go out of town with that man. And you don't know my wife? She's a nasty woman. She will plow through me if I go home with her. Let's share mentality. What would you say to that person who, even maybe coming through a season where there has been significant pain, the man has tried to turn around and communication is always being pointed back to an old event, something that happens. He thinks forgiveness should have happened, but, you know, it's just not turning around. What would you say to that gentleman?
I think I would say that God's wisdom is critical. And I think of Proverbs 15:1 that says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And to be honest, if she's used to not a gentle answer, she'll be going for it because that's what she's used to. Then a gentle answer will be like, what? What just happened, you know? And that might be a process. It might take a while for her, for a new reality to be in your communication style as a couple. And I think to allow that strength you're talking about here, lead me in our new way of communicating. And the Bible talks about purifying your wife with the word, you know, and the word of God is so powerful in how it can allow us to live life in abundance and not live cringing or tiptoeing around each other. And I think this is an example of a place where that strength can be critical, even if it means being strong enough to be patient through the brokenness and through working through this season of fixing how the communication works.
And when we conclude today, we'll be praying because I know some of you will be going home and your wife will be there. She'll be sparring, waiting for you, you know, and praying that God would give you an ability to create that environment that Proverbs chapter 15 verse 1 says, that a soft answer turns away wrath. And it will take not one event, it might take multiple times. It might even be a couple of weeks, but hang in there because your win is being able to be the person who creates that environment. Because I know myself, my typical way of communicating with Heather is I go into my chamber and I figure out whatever problems there are and I come out in the public and I issue a press release. You know, one of those? And then I take a few questions from the floor. And then I'm out. And some of you might need to change your strategy tonight and go in with an inquisitive, leaning in for what is it that you want. Second movement that moves you from this manual to... And guys, we're not expecting you to go all the way there. We're asking you just to come be here. You know, we still need you to be normal, okay? So second movement is when and where before the what. Learning to live in the when and where before the what. And that's really leading up from what we've said. It is your role as a man to create that atmosphere where easy communication for the sake of intimacy will happen. Because you know how marriage is. It's marriage is an interesting place. Things that are normal to say in the normal world, in this context of marriage, they just take a whole new sense. Check out these scenarios. He says to her, what have you been doing all day? And what he means is, what have you been doing all day? That's exactly what he means. But she hears, you're such a lazy bum. He says, just relax, honey. You need to calm down. And he means, it's not that big a deal. As big a deal as you're making it. What does she hear? You're an unstable emotional wreck and you need to go see a shrink. He says, wow, what's that you're wearing? And he means, well, I can't even remember when you bought that outfit. Yeah? What does she hear? You're fat. He says, honey, where do you want to go tonight? And he means, it will be my pleasure to treat you to a place of your choice. She decides. You really didn't plan this thing very well, did you? Although many times that's true, right? I know. Because in marriage is a context where things that are normal, because of the environment that is created, it's not even the what. It's the when and where that we need to be more cautious about defining.
And context plays a huge role. And sometimes you might say something that could be seen as teasing in public, in private, but then you take that to the public and it just becomes a whole new ballgame. I think sometimes offense in public has 10 times the damage of an offense in private. And this request by King Artaxerxes, if it was made in a different setting, as we were painting before, you know, they're enjoying each other, they're enjoying intimacy, he's like, honey, show me how beautiful you are. That would have gone really differently from, I've given these guys alcohol all week, now come and walk before them, you know? So the setting is really important, and the place and the time to deal with things is extremely important. And just looking at Colossians 4:6 talks about looking out for the interests of others. Let your conversation, Philippians 2:4 talks about looking at the interests of others. But Colossians 4:6 says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And the idea of seasoned here is interesting when we bring it to marriage, because it kind of says, you know me, we've been here a while. It's seasoned. That you'd respond to your wife from that place of the intimate knowledge you have of her. And it makes us think of the different seasons of our marriage. And this was revolutionary for me when I just got married, to understand that there are seasons. When I just got married, I didn't like it very much because I thought, you mean there's drama coming? I just want to stay in the honeymoon. But the four seasons are, the first one is the dream stage. And in the dream stage, you know, your Facebook picture, still the wedding, everything is beautiful, you know, you're enjoying each other. People said you would fight about toothpaste, but you're not having those fights. Life is great, you know. If there is any miscommunication in that season, there's grace, you know. And the general sense is, I'll get to know him better. We're getting to know each other, you know. And we're not looking around for, you know, is anyone having more fun than us? At this point, our worlds are complete and we absolutely love it. And we are so in love with each other. And our advice for you, if you're in the dream stage, is enjoy it. not in a it's going to end kind of way, but just enjoy it. Enjoy being there. Enjoy getting to know each other. And enjoy being in that space. Don't actually look around the corner for it to end. It might go on for a long, long time. So enjoy being in the dream stage. The second stage is drama. And in this stage, you realize, so maybe I didn't marry, you know, Mr. Wrighty. Maybe I didn't marry Martha Stewart, you know. Maybe all my meals won't be cooked miraculously, and perhaps the house will be messy. And for the woman, it's like, wow, like, really? Just failing and failing for me. Like, I feel disillusioned. Like, is this what I signed up for? Many transitions happen in this stage. You're going for work, you know, there's many promotions, and that means working later. Children come in. I, for one, think children was a huger transition than getting married. It was like, what? There's a human to take care of. And you have to take care of them all the time. You can't take them back to the store and say, no, I don't want this one. You know, they're there. That's the season it is. And in this season, our attitude towards miscommunication is, you should have known better. And we move from, I'll get to know him better too. You should have known better. You should know me better than to do that or say that. Those are the first two seasons.
If next two is discovery, just to say, many relationships do not move beyond the drama stage. Many actually break at that point. And the interesting thing is that people break their relationships at this point, and they go and start looking for somebody else, only to start again in the dream stage and come back to the drama stage. And our prayer for you is that many of you would spend your time in the discovery stage. Great time. And in the discovery stage, what you're saying here is, I should have known better. You begin to know your spouse to the place where you are beginning to sort of understand what they are made of. You begin to appreciate the likes and dislikes. You begin to say, I'm getting it. Understand that when I come late, when I come 10 minutes late, it does offend you. And if I did it, I know what's coming. And it's not the drama stage. In the drama stage, you're really looking out for yourself. In the discovery stage, you are sort of sending out a signal. You're always probing, you know, what can I learn about my spouse? What can I learn about my wife? And the last one is the depth stage, where a couple finds themselves to the place where they can say, I know you, I can predict you. At this stage, conflict is not even a threat. They know how it will end because they've been able to work through a lot of things. We met a couple who had been together closer to 60 years, and this experience blew our mind. How would you share about that?
Yeah, so this old couple, they had been missionaries to Kenya, and they owned a gorgeous property on the lake, and they let out their like guest wing to pastors to come for holidays. So we went there, and they were probably in their 90s, and the wife was doubled over, and she had several conditions. She was in pain, and she couldn't actually talk. And the husband, you know, stood tall. He was still very healthy, and he did a lot in the house, and he enjoyed her. And that was strange for us. They can't talk right now, but he would read scripture to her. He would just enjoy being in her presence. They shared an intimacy that for us was mind-blowing. And this was 3 years into our marriage, so we were in drama. And we're looking at them in their 90s thinking, wow, like that's possible, to get to that place where you're so intimate. You communicate so deeply, you don't need words, you know. And that was just beautiful to watch for us.
And a prayer for us is that we will get there sooner rather than later. I know some of you who are recently married, you are thinking, yeah, we started off with the depth stage, and from here on, it only goes up. So it's awesome. I'm really happy for you. But for the majority of us, we need to somehow work through these stages. And it is not never linear. Sometimes you flip and flop in any of those two stages. And sometimes it is okay to acknowledge, you know what? So many transitions have happened in the last, you know, month, 2 months, years. And I need to acknowledge that I am in a season of discovery or drama. And in that season, you need to hold your statements loose. In that season, you need to be super gracious, you know. Spend 5 more minutes in the car before you leave to come into the home if you need to. Just because, you know, you will need to be the one who creates that environment. The last movement, and then I hope to have some questions, is, you know, there's always a discussion about quality and quantity of conversation. And This is me. This is my personal bias. I really believe that for intimacy to happen, quantity comes before quality. And many of us, we just want to, you know, in our very male world, we want to just go in and have a deep conversation straight in, and then you can say, check, had my date night for the week. Let's meet again next week. But you know what? Quantity is what defines a meaningful relationship. Significant time together, not that intense time when, because of how time starved and how time poor we are, we want to make every second count. So when you meet, you want to just milk everything you want out of that encounter, so that, you know, you can say we are deep, and then you continue on with your life. And this says, for you to be successful and have intimacy, it's not the depth. Now, one of the superpowers God has given us is that even in how a man is wired, we can move from very casual to very intense, even physically. God has wired us that way. We could be moving from I'm bored to I'm hot and horny, I'm ready now. With no, just even a temperature change could be the trigger. And we are okay. But we need to be aware that God would want for us as men to be able to dwell in there, to allow for there to be significant conversation, even about random things. And this one I struggle with, because I'm like, why don't we just cut to the chase, you know? We know what we need to deal with. We need to budget. Let's just bring out the spreadsheets. Let's deal with it, and then I can continue on with my life. And yet, the conversation that actually forms intimacy is the quantity of time spent together.
It said that couples spend 27 minutes of conversation a week. That's how long we usually give each other. And this is time when we're not talking about the kids, we're not talking about details, we're connecting. 27 minutes. And when we started having date nights, Albo and I, about 3 years into our marriage, it was out of a crisis, you know. When we were in the dream stage, who needs a date night? You know, we're hanging out all the time. I'm looking into your eyes. Life is great. We had the privilege of working for the same organization. So we'd had lunch together, dinner. But then hit year three, and now we are not seeing each other all the time, and we had to have a date night. And it was a crisis. And to be honest, because of how much I had built up, the first few date nights, we were just fighting. I would come with a list of issues that I would like to present. And, you know, it was not fun. And I remember thinking, well, this is a waste of money. We got a babysitter. We spent money in a restaurant to fight, really? But then over time, as the date night continued and it just remained consistent and the stress around that just ebbed away, and now we were able to connect, and just knowing that every week we will have that just took some of that away. And I know for guys, you know, you want to be efficient. Like, why is there date night as a line item in our budget? But the purpose is to build this intimacy, to build this communication, to allow for that quantity that will later build in the quality.
Now, this is not something men do easily and naturally. So we need some help. We need a little cheat sheet on how do you get this done? And I've got a few things to write down, and we'll, as we wrap up, we'll talk about how we have applied this one in our lives. First of all, and this comes from a gentleman called Gary Chapman in his book, just, you know, talking about how we finally got to understand each other. And this is what he says, that you need to learn to be able to reveal your experiences. Revealing our experiences. Just being able to say, as you drive home, as you're about to meet your wife, some of us need the help to be able to say, I need to tell her, you know, I saw an accident on the way. It seems so trivial. You know, you see, need to say this random things you notice, changes that have happened around, that they don't seem to be amounting to anything, but the intentionality of being able to say it out. It's just an experience. But it goes a little deeper than that. Because when you reveal your experience, you're saying, I noticed that. You're just saying it's a random fact out there, and you just throw it out and you move along. But to move a little deeper and to reveal your interpretations, to be able to say, honey, the reason I acted the way I did is, and to be able to enable for her to see you interpreting your actions. Because our typical way is that we act and we want to move on without needing to explain why we did what we did. And for us as men, to be able to rope the woman in so that she can understand how our world thinks. The third one is a harder one. It says revealing your feelings. And this is what I find. It is easier for me to say, this is what I think, than this is what I feel. Because when I go into the touchy-feely stuff, it just doesn't feel so, you know, manly type of thing. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with saying, telling my wife, this is what I think. Things have changed around me a lot. And it makes me feel, you know, it makes me know, it seems like a thought, but it really is a feeling that I've sent out there. And then revealing your desires. For your wife to be able to say, now, I would like to say appropriately, because if you reveal all your desires as a man, I know there'll be drama, because I know some of the desires we have should not ever be spoken out. Just you and God, just deal with them and then let it end there. For your wife to be able to hear, do you know, I would really like to, and talk about the things you'd like to see achieved. We think about them in our man mind and we go and we just keep them as thoughts. We note them down somewhere, but you'd be surprised how much our wives want to share in those. They want to maybe not even give any solution towards it, but just to have a share in it. And finally, to reveal your anticipated behavior. This is what I'm thinking of doing. This is how I think to resolve the situation. And for your wife to be drawn into your next step, we typically do what we need to do, and then we come and report. This grows intimacy. And maybe Edda can share, but we go to a place where, and maybe this is a personal bias for me, but I am pretty structured in how I like to think at life and about life, and this is what we came to. And I went up to Edda one day and told her, you know, on a weekly basis, this is what I'd love for us to be able to talk about.
So we still go for our date night with books, but this time it's not a list of things to fight about. This time it's, how do I draw you out? And I used to struggle with the cave. I used to feel like he's gone in the cave. Okay, I'll respect the cave. Okay, but I want to draw him out. Okay, but no, maybe I should leave him alone. And over time, he coached me on how to draw him out. And these are the questions he gave me to ask him. When have you been celebrated recently? You know, share that with me. When did you feel proud of yourself? Like you were winning. You know, those moments, again, we celebrate those with you. So share that with me. Secondly, what's a meaningful conversation you've had recently? Or just an interesting conversation? Like you walked through your day and at the end of it, you were like, huh, you know, that intern is quite bright or whatever, you know. Share that with me. When have you been most unsure of yourself in the last week? Where you felt shaken in your giftings or in your calling or just in whatever you are doing. What are you learning that has challenged you? Like this has stretched you. You didn't know it before. And it's revolutionizing how you think about work or the kids or whatever. And lastly, what are your dreams for the future? What do you see for us? Where do you see us as old people? You know, where do you see us growing old together? So those are a few questions that he came up with to help me draw him out.
Must admit, when we started doing that, it initially felt very mechanical, felt like, you know, under interrogation, you know, like the light has been brought all the way down to sir. But over time, I found that we didn't even need to look back at the question. Conversation flowed easily. And you know yourself, you know the things that make you tick. And to be able to coach your spouse on what it means to be able to draw you out into a space of intimacy. Remember, those three movements allow you as a man to move from our world, which is an awesome place, a place of just, we're just God's epic creation in many, many ways. But for us to succeed in our marriage, we need to make a few steps in this direction. And I sure pray that the Lord would enable you to do that. Okay, we've talked a lot. Maybe I'll take one or two questions. I'll take the easy ones and let's give my wife to answer the gentleman here. Thank you. Just a comment there on that date night. You have to be patient with that. Thank you for that. At the back there. We'll take maybe two other questions after that one. And yeah. The question is, how do you tell your wife you've reached the limit for the day? You send a text before you get home, you know. But seriously, you need to be able to have the conversation not when you're in the middle of the heat. You need to be able to agree that, hey, when I go into this space, it's not out of offense. And I will have to create some space in my house where when even the kids know when daddy goes there, it's not that he's rejecting us. He just needs to be there for a while and then he'll come back. But the essence is, when do you make that call? You make that call when things are okay. It's difficult to make that decision when you're in the heat of the discussion at that moment. So look, remember, it is the when and where before the what. Right? Thank you for that. One last question, and I'd like to pray for us before
that, because I'm losing people. Just Between Us is an amazing magazine for women. And it's a great way to give her a Valentine's gift. If you haven't thought of one, they're even packaged in red and have chocolates in them. So you can grab a magazine. It's an amazing resource for women. So I just wanted to throw that in, but we can continue with the question.
Before we leave, I know we've got like 2 minutes. I'd like to pray for us before, and I'll take this question, and then I'd like to pray for us very specifically. So I'll ask us to just hang in there. Lunch is going to happen somehow or other. Go for it. Oh, yeah, the four questions, you could just run by them.
So when have you been celebrated recently was the first one. And the second one was, what is a meaningful conversation you've had recently? The third one is, when have you been most unsure of yourself? So a moment of vulnerability. And then what are you learning that has challenged you? And then what are your dreams for our future? If I've gone through that really quickly and you need it, we're happy to give you a copy.
All right, let me pray for us. Hey, guys, I want to pray for us. And I know some of us are going back to homes where the environment hasn't been that great. and you are going to a place where it's been pretty combative. I want to pray that the Lord's grace and presence would be with you, that you are responsible for creating the environment for your wife to be able to be drawn out. And may the Lord surely reward you for the sacrifice you're about to make. Shall we pray? Father, thank you because of the unique role you've given men and the pillar we are in our communities around us, and how you look to us to protect, you look to us to defend, you look to us to plow into the future for the sake of our generation. And I pray for every man who's here right now, that Lord, you may allow that passage you talked about, that our speech will be seasoned with salt, starting today as we communicate with our beloved, that Lord, you would enable every man here to learn to create the environment that ensures that their wives are drawn in to a place of intimacy. May you reward us immensely with laughter and with just a sense of awareness of your presence. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, gentlemen. Have a great afternoon. Enjoy your lunch.